like to just get your Bible ready. We're going to read a portion this morning out of Genesis. And you might like to turn to Genesis chapter 34, 35. And while you're turning there, just allow me to introduce this. It is a tremendous privilege to be a father, as the men and the children have said this morning. But not everyone gets to experience the blessedness of having a good father. Just as Mother's Day can be difficult, a difficult day of the year for some people, so can Father's Day, when they think back about perhaps the father they didn't have or the father they did have. So if you have not had a wonderful father, our heart goes out for you this morning. But we're filled with hope because the Word of God gives us strength and encouragement that God can turn things around in our lives. And perhaps we didn't have the greatest father, but perhaps God can use us to be a good father or a good parent. God can do wonderful things. There are many challenges and wonders of fatherhood, from babies to adulthood. I don't miss changing nappies, but I do miss the little bundles of joy running around, as I imagine many mothers do as well. As children grow up, there's lots of fun. There's so much happening, a busy time. And as they grow up and develop, things change and they go to school. We all get very busy. And then they get into teenagehood, and they're very challenging years during that time. And this morning I'd like to talk about a man in the Bible called Jacob and his family. And when we look in the Bible, there are so many things that help us, that encourage us. And I wanted to look at Jacob this morning because he was a very successful man. Jacob was very successful. He was a farmer. Raised livestock and was very successful. And every man wants to be successful at something in their occupation and what they do. They feel like they're achieving something. And he did that. He had some experiences with God and he managed to marry two wives. I don't know if that was so successful, but he did. And he had many children, 12 boys, and at least one girl that we know of that's written in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 34, Jacob was back in his country, or his father's country, and his family was doing very well. They were growing, his boys were out in the field, they were farming, they were doing very well. Some were young in their teenagehood, some were in their 20s, no doubt. But Jacob had a daughter. Everyone say, Jacob had a daughter. And who knows, with children, you can't always control them. And we're not always supposed to control them. That would be wrong, wouldn't it? You see, Jacob was very successful in many ways. But sometimes things happen which are a little out of our control and a little out of our depth. And that will happen to every man, every father at different times. Chapter 34, and reading from verse 1. We're going to pick a few verses here before we go to verse 35. You might like to bring that up, Brother Ben. That'd be wonderful. And it says in verse 1, Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Why wouldn't you? A young lady at home, or perhaps just nestled in her family, wants to get out and explore and meet other girls her age. Get to know them. Find out what the latest fashions are, perhaps. Find out what's going on. get connected to her own generation. But in verse 2, Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, the prince of the country, saw her. He took with her and lay with her and defiled her. That's every father's nightmare, that something like that would happen. That was tragic. That was absolutely tragic that occurred. Verse 3, and his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel, and he spake kindly unto the damsel. From there on, the father of Hamor seeks to arrange a marriage between his son and Dinah. But Jacob is obviously very, very upset, and his sons are very, very upset. And because we're restrained with a little bit of time this morning, just briefly, his sons come up with a plan. And they tell the men, they tell the prince, his father, that you can have our daughter to marriage only if you're circumcised. And they thought, wow, this is great. We'll do this and we'll get their cattle, and they could see a whole lot of benefits. And so they were. The men were circumcised. And on the third day, the Bible says, when they were sore, Jacob's sons, Levi and Simeon, who had a bit of a cruel nature, teamed up and they went through and killed all the men in that village. This was not Jacob's plan. It wasn't Jacob's doing. This was horrible. Everything was just going wrong. Very, very wrong. And then they basically ransacked everything. And when Jacob found out what had happened, from verse 35 we're going to come to, Brother Ben. Chapter 35, Jacob's absolutely distraught. And all he can think of is, you know, God's brought us this far, but now because of your action, we are going to be destroyed by the other inhabitants of the land. It was a tragedy. But at that time, Jacob began to seek God. And we've talked a little bit in our testimonies this morning about spiritual leadership. And spiritual leadership is about leading not just ourselves but our families in the right direction. And Jacob knew how to seek God. Or can I put it another way? He knew that if he sought for God, he would find him. He had experienced that on a number of occasions. And so chapter 35, starting with verse 1, we're going to read a few verses. And God spoke unto Jacob, and he said, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. So Jacob knew. He knew what it meant to flee from danger, but he also knew what it meant to find help and deliverance in God. It was that occasion when Jacob had fled that he had had a dream. He lay down in this place and he had a dream. And in that dream, a wonderful, wonderful dream, he saw a ladder from earth to heaven. And some translations say that God was at the top of the ladder, and others say that he was at the bottom of the ladder next to Jacob. But it also goes on to say that the angels were going up and down that ladder. And when Jacob woke up from that dream many of those years ago, he realized God was there. And it was such an impacting dream, such a presence of God was so real to him that he'd never experienced before. He made a commitment to love God at that point and to serve him and give a tithe unto God, offerings. And from that moment, he always sought God as his help. Second verse. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And this is a big thing for Jacob to do. But somehow in that period when Dinah had been defiled and his sons had sought revenge, they had lost sight of their calling in life, which came through Jacob. And Jacob was wanting to reconnect them with that experience he had had. You see, we can teach our children so many things, we can instruct, we can discipline, but if we become disconnected, or if they lose touch with what's really important, we've somehow got to reconnect them. And so this event happened in Jacob's life, and events can happen in our lives as well, where we suddenly have to change course and go, something's wrong here. And usually the mother, the wife, picks up on it before the father does. They usually pick up something's wrong before the father does. So men, we need to listen to our wives carefully. And wives, speak wisely to your husbands and give them the opportunity to hear what you've got to say. The family followed Jacob. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand. So they knew it was wrong, but for some reason, and it wasn't just Jacob's immediate family, there was his whole servants. It was a big community. And he was wanting to lead them. And he was saying, we can't serve God and have idols. Let's put them away. God must come first. We don't need anything to bow down and worship before, but we worship God. And all the earrings which they were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him, and he built an altar there, and he called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. The word Bethel means house of God. In other words, I'm bringing my family back to the presence of God, to the house of God, because I recognize that if I don't do that, we're in desperate straits. And that's what leadership is from a man's perspective, is doing the things which must come first, even if it means something else gets sacrificed. It's so important for us as men. Jacob had been greatly distressed by everything that was happening, but he remembered God and he began to seek God, and God spoke to him. The Lord returned him to the place where he first heard from God. He wanted Jacob to look back at where he'd come from, because when we do that and we see the hand of God upon us, it reminds us that God is well able to finish what he has started. And we need to give God that credit. He's righteous. Our God is faithful. He is true. Jacob wanted his children to know what had happened to him that day, that moment. Jacob entered this encounter with God as a result of taking the birthright and blessing from his brother Esau. When Jacob originally fled from that country to escape his brother, that's where God appeared to him. And Jacob was running for his life that time when God delivered him from his distress, because Jacob wanted to kill him. So Jacob knew God could deliver in any situation. And he learnt that God is much closer than we realize. I believe the book of Acts tells us that he's not far from any one of us. And it's the role of men and fathers to remember to lead our families into the presence of God, just like Jacob did. Jacob wanted to reconnect his family with God's calling and God's destiny. There will be times when we will be tested and tried. But let's remember what Jacob did. Remind ourselves about who spoke to us, the time and the place when God directed our lives, the time and place when Jesus broke through the powers of darkness, when there was a transformation. That time when Jacob had that dream, there was a transformation. He was returning to Bethel. And God would have us men, us fathers, remember the day of our transformation and communicate that to our family to revisit it. If you'd like to turn to Psalms 118 and verses 1 to 6, and while you're turning there, I'd like to read a verse out of John. So Psalm 118 verses 1 to 6. While you're turning there, Jesus in the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 51, he told Philip, and he said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Jesus was referring back to Jacob's dream, and he was saying, "I'm the ladder that allows heaven to connect with earth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life." Psalms 118, verses 1 to 6. "I give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endures forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endures forever. I called upon the Lord in distress," the psalmist says, "and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me." You know, what the liberating thing is about our walk with God, with the Word of God, is it's empowering. Despite any situation we find ourselves in, despite the circumstances which may be completely unfair, when we read the Word of God and it encourages us to look up, just as it did for Jacob, and for us to know we can call upon God. The psalmist says, "I called upon the Lord in my distress, and he heard me, he answered me, and set me in a large place." The psalmist was talking about a situation where he was surrounded by enemies, but God delivered him. And as men, as fathers, and as mothers, we need to know that there are times the only resolution is to call upon God. We've already used up our wisdom. It's gone. We have to call upon God. We can talk and talk and talk as much as we like, but there are times we just have to separate ourselves out and call upon God. And I know for me, there's been more than a couple of occasions where I have been absolutely distressed and I could not resolve certain situations, but I sought the Lord. I can remember coming down, either going walking or coming down to church, and pouring out my heart before God and praying until I believed that he heard. And yes, he delivered. Sometimes within 2 hours, he delivered and changed the situation. And other times, I needed to endure some patience and wait upon him. The story of Jacob is a story like many others in the Bible that reveals God's power and his willingness to step into our lives when we call upon him in distress. And what does this say about God? This says, "Oh, how wonderful. Oh, how good he is. Oh, how great he is. Oh, how glorious he is. Full of compassion, full of mercy, full of kindness. Never forgets." Let's never underestimate him, because men, we can get caught up in our own achievements and we can lose sight of our connections with our family, with our children, with our loved ones, which are more important than what we actually achieve. And we can lose sight of those, but God is so gracious and He reminds us. And that's one of the blessings about coming to church, because we get to hear. We get to be reminded. We get to see what other fathers are doing. It's refreshing. It's wonderful. Sometimes it's convicting. But oh, how wonderful it is, because it's God working in our lives amongst us, who's doing a great work for His name. Because there are some things that can only be overcome, where we'll only have victory when we call upon the name of Jesus. Because He is righteous and He's able. He is good. Hallelujah. I would, if I could, have an altar call this morning. But perhaps tonight, if you could return for the testimony, my story service, that would be wonderful, because right now I'm going to call Brother Aaron up. We're going to get ready to hand out some gifts to all the fathers this morning. And I think Pastor Downs did not want the ladies to outdo us by too much. If you'd like to hold that, and what I'm going to do is, it's called the resolution. This is powerful. Now I'm going to read this out this morning, and then we're going to invite all the fathers to come up and receive their framed certificate, the resolution to hang on their walls at home. It's powerful, it's convicting, and then we're going to get you to stand up here and we'll hopefully get some photos this morning. Once we've done that, we're going to pray together. Okay, let me read this to you. The resolution. I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children. I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the Word of God as a spiritual leader of my home. I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her as Jesus Christ did for me. I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all of their hearts, all of their minds, and all of their strength. I will train them to honor authority and live responsibly. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. I will seek to honor God, be faithful to His church, obey His word, and do His will. I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory. That's a lot. And at the end, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, from Joshua 24 and verse 15. So we'd like all the fathers this morning, if they could stand and maybe come to this side here, Brother Aaron, and we'll hand out the gifts that have been so kindly prepared by Brother David.